This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
To pulling out that couch at night. I think she's afraid we're going to wrap her up in it and pull her out in the morning. But that's okay.
Okay, we'll be right back with Regina Dane from ICOH.
But before you hit the music button, I have to let you know you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high-definition radio, go to kpft.org and find out what's playing over there. Right now it's probably the BBC.
Hi, Kathy.
Okay. All right, I'm going to bookend us with some Disney and then get back to the real good stuff.
Okay.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, sherry, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre. Why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff. It's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France. And a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest.
Beef ragout, cheese souffle, pie and pudding
on flambé. We'll prepare and serve with flair a culinary cabaret. You're alone and you're scared, but the banquet's all prepared. No one's gloomy or complaining while the flatware's entertaining. We tell jokes, I do tricks with my fellow candlesticks.
Put it all in perfect taste that you can best. Come on and lift your glass, you've won your own free pass to be our guest.
If you're stressed, it's fine dining we suggest.
Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest.
Life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving. He's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Ah, those good old days when we were useful. Suddenly those good old days are gone. 10 years we've been rusting, needing so much more than dusting. Needing exercise, a chance to use our skills. Most days we just lay around the castle. Flabby, fat, and lazy. You walked in and oops-a-daisy.
It's a guest, makes a lot of our big mess. Wine's important, thank the Lord. I've had the napkins freshly pressed. With this, she'll not eat. And my dear, that's fine with me. While the cups do this, I'll shoo it. I'll be bubbling, I'll be brewing. I'll get warm, I'll be hot. Heaven's sake, is that a spot? Clean it up. Got a lot to do. Is it one love or two? For you, our guest.
She's our guest.
She's our guest.
If the savage one is me, how can there be so much that you don't know? You don't know. You think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. You think the only people who are people are the people who look and think like you. But if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you'll learn things you never knew, you never knew. Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon? Or asked the grinning bobcat why he grinned? Can you sing with all the voices of the mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Can you paint with all the colors?
Are y'all ready in there?
We were ready for a while.
Well, you were anyway. I know you're tired of all that. Anyway, we heard Beating the Beast doing Be Our Guest, and then Pocahontas, Colors of the Wind. Kind of appropriate for the community, actually, if
yes.
you think about that, the words of that song.
Mm-hmm. Judy had one more thing she wanted to say.
Oh, does she?
I thought she already said it.
I do? Hi, Kathy. My sister lives in San Juan Capistrano, and she's going to try to find this show on the radio, on the computer tonight, and listen to it. So that's all there is.
And if not, she'll be listening to it tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, I did look at the archives, and they are only doing from 1 to 3,
right.
1 to 4 on there.
Right, that's why I wanted to do it after.
Thank you. Okay, bye, guys.
Gee, what a coincidence there. I mean, you know your sister and him have, since she lives in San Juan Capistrano?
Uh-huh.
And she has in common with Jimmy?
Swallow.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Say goodnight, Judy.
Night, Judy.
And hello, Regina.
No. Oh, see? No, we got everybody nervous this month. I'm good this month.
You are good this month.
Good, I swear there'll be no cussing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never was.
Yeah.
You see where my hand is?
Yeah. Where would you like my hands?
Well.
Well then.
Well, hold on. We got in more trouble for where hands were placed than where voices, words were said.
Well, that's because the actual hands, I guess.
Well, let's not go there.
Okay.
Once is enough.
This is a night with the royal.
Just one royal.
COH. Regina is empress this year.
Regent empress.
Oh, it's like...
Oh, I keep forgetting that part.
Mm-hmm.
Because it to me, it takes away, and you're doing a really big job right now. Really big job.
I do what I do. Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, Jimmy was actually a member of this organization.
I still am. I'm a lifetime member.
He's a lifetime.
But you see, I don't go to the monthly meetings anymore, so I don't get the calendar. And my
printer, shame on you.
My printer won't print it out.
Well, if you would quit downloading the porn, your computer would work once in a while.
My computer works just fine, thank you very little.
Now it does.
Well, Bruce fixed it, yeah.
It took a week's worth of computer ER.
It died, yes. It did. It wouldn't turn on.
Well, honey, Jimmy.
That's, you have to make sure it's plugged into the wall, and then you push the little button that says on.
And I push the little button, and it lights up, and then it went off. And it was my hard drive. I had to have a new one.
Well, Jimmy, at your age,
well, if you wouldn't put so much crap on it.
Stop, Chris. Don't.
I didn't say a word. I'm
sitting there smiling, and I'm thinking, okay, what's he going to do with? I just said hard drive. What's he going to do with that?
Well, Jimmy, here's my computer story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My computer story. This is, I have an old computer too. And I was just informed, but I can no longer check my bank account online because my computer will not handle an update, another browser update.
That's sad.
That's when you know you need to go out and buy a new computer.
That is really sad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if they were $59.99, it would be one thing. But,
yeah,
you know, it's like 10 times that much.
Well, just one component inside the computer costs that much.
If you pay attention at the right time, like when I got my new computer 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it was only $200. And I spent another $100 to upgrade it.
That's still $300.
Or if you're like
me. Do you know how much hair and jewelry I can buy for $300?
Yeah.
Of course.
And your excuse is Stanley.
Well, yeah.
I custom built my own, and built it from the ground up myself, but it cost me a little bit for that.
I guess I need to start prioritizing.
Okay, you too. Do Regina and I look like the types that can build our own computers?
That's why you have me.
I don't build my own computer. I walked into the store and go, hey, you still have this? Yeah. Thank you. Here's my credit card.
When I went in and said, I want this part, this part, this part, this part, I'm building it myself.
I'm a computer con artist.
And I'm a computer artist.
That's how I explain it to people.
And I am a computer...
illiterate.
Yes.
Yeah. I know how to turn it on.
That's it.
And surf for porn.
That's right. Go to get your emails and go for porn, and that's it.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
which is about 98% of America these days.
Of course.
And unfortunately, Jimmy, you're like my dad, who just clicks on any link that he gets to it.
No. All my porn is through Yahoo groups.
But somehow you clicked on something.
I do not go to... No. It's all, well, I do... Well, there is XTube and GayTube and YouPorn and...
Do you know the only place I've ever gotten someone... hacked into me and sent out horrible things in my name was in MySpace.
Really?
Yes. Someone got, I don't know what I clicked on MySpace, but one time they got my password and started sending out all of these filthy email bulletins in my name. And I'm getting all these calls and emails saying, girl, what's going on?
Well, yeah,
that's awful.
Actually, you know, I saw something of that with XTube at one time. I clicked on someone's page and saw there was a comment that I supposedly made. And it's like, I don't know this person. I didn't say anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
So
it's all these evil people out there.
So right? I had to go in there and change my password. And now I'm
terrible.
More selective. Anyone who wants to be my friend and it's a picture of a real girl,
it's not happening, huh? I don't blame you. I do not blame you. Speaking of not real girls, you know that...
Thank you, Jimmy.
You saw the Disco Inferno tonight, and there was a duo, and one girl was very animated. She just wasn't quite on beat. You know who I mean. Do you know who she is?
Which one? You're talking about a duo. That I was right. They were both kind of not on
the one that was more animated, and then she did a solo later.
Shantae.
She's a furrier. She made my fur coat 21 years ago.
She made those outfits.
She's amazing.
She's a seamstress. She made those outfits they were wearing.
She also makes clothes for Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So she shaved enough beavers to get your coat.
No, me. She came over 22 years ago. She came over.
Chris.
She said, what do you want? And I said, well, I want kind of like a short jacket and of leather, and I want it reversible with mink on the other side. And so I took my measurements and went back and made it and brought it to me, you know, like 6 weeks. It was amazing, and it fit perfectly.
You know, speaking of unreal girls, you know, this is the first time I've not seen Regina in drag.
Oh.
It's actually different for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have that confusion all the time.
I can show you a lot of different things, but...
Yeah.
But that's another show.
Hang around with him enough for the drag queens when you see them in drab.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up to you like, hi, how are you doing? It's like,
who are you?
Who the...
Yeah.
I almost didn't recognize him when he walked in the door.
I was like, I've had that happen to lots of people. I'm someone who is now Adam Robinson, who is now one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
The first, I had known him for months.
It was Regina.
Never once had seen me out of drag. And then I walked up to him one night and was like, hey, honey, how you doing? And he was like, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? And he was like,
who are you?
He looked at me and he said, do I know you?
Oh!
So there is
definitely a transformation
I count myself as a true Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
I have two personalities.
You do.
Same here. Because I'm a Gemini also.
Oh.
There are things.
So the four of you just need to
all get together and have.
Yeah. Oh, we can put on our own show just between the four of us.
I know. Well, so
we don't need you other two. Get out.
What is ICOH doing these days?
Oh God, I feel like we're doing 100 million things. But preparing to come over here, I was looking at the calendar again, and I think my calendar is just full because there's so many other things. You know,
there is a lot. It's really hard to schedule things because other people are doing
mm-hmm.
really big things almost every weekend.
But specifically what we're doing in the next few weeks, something that's we found something that's become quite successful for us is not doing shows, but bartending and serving food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you're doing this on Sunday.
We're doing this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This Sunday, we're at Tony's. Later on today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is Sunday.
Tony's.
Surprise! At Tony's from 4 to 8.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
In between the two other things.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Between the GCAM show and the Don Gill show.
Tribute show. So we can do the GCAM show and then come over and have dinner and mm-hmm. then go over to Don Gill.
Yeah, see? It's a fully planned day. It's full of a variety of excitement.
Yeah, what's for dinner?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's happening at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817
Meatballs?
West Dallas. Yes.
I heard the magic word and I had to come back and say something.
And when you have balls over at Tony's, they're really good.
They have lots of them usually on the weekend.
Yes, they do.
It sounds like I need to go visit Tony sometime.
Oh, you.
Especially considering I pass by there every Saturday.
When you come in?
When I come in. When I leave out, I don't pass by there, but when I come in, I pass by there. Because can't get back on 45 from Dallas.
You should stop in there.
Probably next weekend I'll do that.
Okay.
You should do that. And then the following Friday, on my calendar, it doesn't note the name of the show, but our board of directors is doing a show at Tony's. We'll be back at Tony's at 8 p.m.
See?
On Friday night.
Next Friday night.
Friday night. Yes, Friday night you can join us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following Sunday, that's on the 26th, in amongst the things going on that Sunday.
Oh, the 26th? Oh, that's huge. Yeah, there's lots of stuff going on. There really is.
Well,
we were just doing
it. Oh. It's huge.
You didn't think I noticed.
Well, they're not tonight. But. Oh, yeah, we're actually, and then the following weekend, on the following Sunday, we're doing from 4 to 8 p.m. again, we're actually bartending and serving food at EJ's.
Ah,
during,
spread it around.
We now do this like once a month at Tony's and once a month at EJ's.
Cool.
That we do this
same
thing on Sunday afternoons. And that will be going on during the same time as the Debris Sisters Camp for the
Camp for Camp. Yes.
Uh-huh. So there'll be a whole lot of things going on.
Great.
That afternoon.
Great, because I'll be
And we thought serving food would be a good thing during that.
It'd
that
be great.
Event.
Yeah.
As long as the performances don't make people sick.
There's always that possibility.
I know how the sisters behave at those shows. They need a little food along with their libation.
Yes, they do. Yes, they need something in their stomachs. Oh, my.
Yes, Blanche, if you can hear me, I was talking about you.
Yes, we usually have to pour Blanche home after a Debris show. Oh, my.
And that same evening, and then later that evening... it's not an ICOH event, but I'm a special guest. I will be performing at the Mr. and Miss Tony's Corner Pocket contest.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The Citrine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was there the show this evening.
Yes. The statuesque Citrine.
The very statuesque Citrine. Is actually in charge of coordinating and emceeing that show, that contest.
I was surprised she wasn't in the show tonight. She was...
I don't know. She's all dressed up.
She was. She was. She looked good.
So.
And then what? Are you still doing stuff on Wednesdays?
ICOH is not doing every Wednesday anymore. We've kind of trimmed that down to one Wednesday a month.
Oh, okay.
We have... one Wednesday a month, we do at AJ's in the Martini Bar. We have bartending, birthday social, and classic movie night.
Ooh. What kind of music movies do you show?
Classic.
No, I meant, what have you shown?
We have shown, the first month that we did it, we only done it once. They did Whatever Happened to Baby Jay.
Ooh. I love that movie.
That's a good movie.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it in a while, but it's a good movie.
We're going to be alternating, true like classics like that with sort of gay classics.
Yeah.
So it'll be Bette Davis one month, Joan Crawford the next, and Bette and Joan.
Well,
Bette.
You know,
no
really
more wire hangers.
Yes, I love it. I just love it.
We might brand.
That's another star on my card.
Once in a while.
You Die, Mommy, Die. It's a nice takeoff of Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
But you all, Blanche. But you all.
Yeah. I guess I have to put on my headphones.
Sometimes they play at EJ's tonight. They were playing some lead-in into some of those video. I don't know where it comes from. That real gay promotional tapes they show on the video monitors. Yeah. Well, there was something going, some promotional for some movie, and I kept trying to figure out what it was because the sound wasn't on.
Right.
But finally, they showed the name of it.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of some movie called The Gay Bed and Breakfast of Terror?
No.
That must be one of those. It must be a like Sundance film.
An incredibly cheesy movie that we should
the
see.
Clips, the little clips from it looked incredibly cheesy. They were like
makes Dante's Cove look like Gone with the Wind. Huh?
Probably.
I'm
it
guessing.
It looked incredibly.
My
cheesy.
God! I'll never get the blood stains out of the duvet. Oh. Let me guess. That was by. It's a Sundance film, isn't it?
I have no idea. Because
that's
I
what it saw, sounds like.
All I saw was these cheesy clips. I mean,
my scones are burnt. Ah! Who moved that doily?
Somebody. There was a clip of someone tied to a bed.
Ooh.
A severed head fell on a drag queen. It was quite. So I'm going to go in search of this movie just
okay.
for
the Gay Bed and Breakfast of Terror. I love it.
We have to go into that. If I can find that one, we should show that.
Give me a minute, I'll find it.
Yeah, get working on that.
Could you find that for us?
Yes, please.
Oh, Lordy. Okay.
And
is there anything else you want to promote?
Work us up to Mother's Day weekend.
Ooh.
This is actually what this is. It's not going to be that.
Ah. Well, I was just saying that because that's the second weekend. That's before you come back next time.
Yes. And that night, the ninth, actually I have several things. I could put on my ICOH hat.
And your other hat.
Miss Gay Pride hat.
Yes, that's right. You are that, too.
Yes, and we're heading into the home stretch of that. So I have quite a few things going on with that. I can talk about several things. But maybe I should get through my ICO weight.
Okay.
Up into the next before I come back.
Real quick, I found it. You can get it on Amazon.com.
No kidding!
Yep. Gay Bed and Breakfast of Terror. It's a 2007 copyright on there.
What do they get for that? Oh, we can't say.
Yeah.
I'll leave it on the screen so you can see it when you come back.
Also, between now and then, we have our regular monthly membership meeting at 7 p.m. on May the 6th, which is the first Wednesday of the month, at 7 p.m. at AFH.
Oh.
Yes, we're back meeting at AFH. And then on the 13th, Wednesday the 13th is when we have our next bartending social birthday social and classic movie night.
Okay.
We all bring snacks and cake and celebrate all the birthdays.
That does sound like fun.
And then watch and up in the martini bar.
Because
they have that big screen TV.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Sit around and talk about it. So that's basically all my ICOH things. We have a lot of other things that are in limbo right now. But I won't talk, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so what about Miss Gay Pride?
Gay Pride, we have, between myself and Ms. Gay Pride, Sarah Scholander, we have quite a few things going on. On May the 1st and 2nd, I'll do this for her. She's doing a two-day benefit event.
Wow.
Friday,
each one of the Scholanders.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they each have their own night.
Right. How nice. Well, they are large enough.
The first night is Friday night, the 1st, May 1st, is at the BRB. And that's going to be an all-classic country show.
Ooh, Tammy Wynette.
Yes. Have any idea what I'm going to be doing?
Patsy Cline.
That's what I do.
Yeah, and you do that well, too.
So that's the... And then the next night at 9 p.m. at Chances is a contemporary country show.
Oh, okay.
So it's a whole whole
Then we go to what, Reba?
Probably Reba, Dixie Chicks.
More contemporary.
Very current. And we're talking Faith Hill, very, very current contemporary.
Gotcha.
We're doing classic everything.
Like, so Reba's kind of in the middle there.
She's sort of kind of those stretches, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess if you go back to the early stuff.
And yeah.
But I think for the classic country, we're talking things from like 50s, 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sort of stuff. And then on May the 9th, I'm going to be doing a show, my last show as Miss Gay Pride, with a co-host.
Oh.
Daddy of Montrose, Carlos Rivera.
Whoa, what a sweetheart.
And
happy.
Yes. He had asked me to last month, and I co-emceed his Daddy of Montrose show at Tony's.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, and he said, he had already had this date booked, but he said he wasn't sure he was going to be able to do it. I said, well, I'll do it with you. And that way we'll satisfy a lot of both of our requirements to do shows.
Yes. He's such a sweetheart. I almost want to be bad so he has to spank me.
Hmm? What'd you say?
I said, he's such a sweetheart. I almost want to be bad so he'll have to spank me.
You're always bad.
Oh, okay.
No comment.
That's why
spank
I did,
you
that's why
you
I
have
said
no
it.
Ass.
That too.
Oh, I have more than you think.
Where?
I mean, you've had more than we think.
Well, that, yeah, there is that.
He has the new Wonder Shorts there. He pulls his thighs up. He lifts and separates the thighs up into the ass.
Oh, okay.
Do you have one of those padded panties like Crystal Ray they love? They give you that actually attempt to give you an ass?
No, I don't. I don't. That's false advertising.
Kind of reminds me of that one episode of Queer as Folk where the guy pulls out the rubber ass and then the rubber front side.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Ooh, no, that's no good. Okay.
So, but that leads us in to the actual contest. Mr. Ms. and Miss Gay Pride contest is going to be Memorial Day weekend. It's always Memorial Day weekend, which is Sunday, May 24th.
Wow.
At the BRB.
Yes, yes. It's always been at the BRB. So you have to step
down. I'll step down. Wave.
It's been wonderful. Yes.
Memories.
Yes.
Memories of purple hands in the parade.
Oh, my.
Did I ever tell you that story about purple hands?
I don't think so.
We were on the float during the pride parade. I really don't know where they bought the beads that they gave us to throw from the float. But we really didn't notice it because we were just doing it the whole parade route. And all of a sudden, we got towards the end of the parade, and I looked down, and my hands were stained purple.
No, from whatever crap they had.
Whatever they had used to color or finish the beads had rubbed off on my hands. I look like I had.
And you think,
looks like somebody
my.
cut the circulation off in your hands.
All these people.
You choked Barney.
I did.
All these people.
There's my savior.
All these people have purple necks.
And they know who gave them to them.
A couple of days for it to go away, to finally all wash off.
Oh, my
dang.
Goodness.
Yeah, try going out after the parade.
Yeah, with purple. Hello.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Time to put on those gloves.
People thought I had been, like, crushing grapes or something.
Or robbing a bank and the dye pack went off.
Yeah, that could be. Usually those are red.
And you know this how?
And how is it that you know the color of ink in a dye pack?
All right, HPD, it's on Lovett Boulevard. He's in the studio right now.
Screw that, I'm calling tips. I'm trying to make some money off of him.
Crime Stoppers offering something?
Yeah. We have Cade Michaels waiting in the wings. We're going to talk to him about About Magazine. We've known him a long time. We have history with this guy. And so it'll be nice to have him in the studio again. So, Regina Dane, thank you very much for being here on After
You're
Hours.
Welcome, Jimmy.
Glad we could have
and
this
And the streak
with you.
Ends now. Kill the mic.
Where'd he go?
He we had a phone call.
Oh, okay.
Apparently someone was able to get an outside line at the Pen.
Speaking of which, we haven't had any letters from any of our MBBs, our men behind bars, lately.
Maybe.
Some of them got released.
Well, yeah, I know one or two.
Some got released, probably some escaped, and,
You never know.
Besides, who would want to associate with us?
Yeah, got a point.
I have a MySpace friend who's in the military in Iraq.
Oh? Wow. That's hot.
Oh, yes. Yes, honey, it is. We'll talk about it.
Okay, it's time for music.
Okay, I got one queued up.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, that caller was just saying that he's enjoying the show. Things were nice and crazy.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's what we strive for.
So, here we go. A little Atwood and Camo.
Okay, thank you, Regina.
First the tide rushes in, plants a kiss on the shore, then rows out to sea. Very still once more, so I rush to your side like the oncoming tide with one burning fire. For your touch, long
Atwood and Camo.
Yep, Ebb Tide and the Unchained Melody.
Ricky Camo has some pipes. And they still perform.
I don't even
together.
Know how to say that.
they still perform together in Houston.
Really?
Yes.
They're local.
That information. Jerry Atwood is.
Oh, okay.
Ricky's from Louisiana.
Yeah, apparently.
Imagine that.
Yeah, Devin recognized Jerry.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I've seen him often over at Tony's Corner Pocket. He stops in after his gigs on the weekends and for a little drink. And
well, maybe I'll see him one time over there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very, very friendly.
At, Michael's Outpost, too, and plays the piano.
Yeah, he always talks to me.
Oh, okay.
And it's, I'm always amazed that somebody like Jerry Atwood even knows who I am.
Well, most of Houston know who all of us are by now.
Yeah. And they certainly know who Cade Michaels is.
Hi, Cade.
Because About Magazine has just kind of flourished and filled a wonderful gap in our community.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably just my headset.
Okay.
There's volume controls on the ears, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Wow. Yours is a little low.
Ah. A little bit better.
Yeah, okay.
Is that better?
Okay. So, tell us about.
Okay, well.
How did it come to be? And
how did it come about?
Yeah.
How did it come about?
And yeah, I know you're promotional par excellence, but
well,
how did you end up in the magazine business?
By accident.
Oh.
I got out of the entertainment business about a year ago, and I was sitting at home and doing nothing, kind of freelancing or moonlighting, so to speak, some small events and some concerts and stuff like that. And I was really tired of it, and I wanted something new.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down and I started really thinking about what it is that I wanted to do, what project did I really want to work on. And I started thinking about magazines. Now, I don't have a background in magazines.
I know.
In publishing at all.
Yeah.
I have no background in that at all. And so when I thought about it, I was like, you know, I'm looking at some of the other magazines in the community, and I saw that there was kind of like something missing out of all the magazines. Outsmart being a great magazine, they're printed once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Twit, which is also a good magazine, is printed once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing in there that was filling that every 2 week void.
Yeah.
And I saw somewhere to make a niche in the community, which is to bring something a little bit more cutting edge, bring in a new style of writing, which is more so blog, to where it's like first person, people sitting down and talking to you in a story versus your old school writing. And I wanted to bring in that whole new cutting edge to the magazine.
It's young
and it's fresh and
yeah.
It's hip, it's cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it got started. Started thinking about it in August of last year. Started brainstorming, started getting my ducks in a row.
You were so good at that.
Yeah, it was a little rough at first. Me and about four other friends that I've known for a while, and we sat down and we started actually having serious meetings about it. We started going in and doing research on printing costs,
mm-hmm.
getting it all together. And then it was time to actually, you know, it's got to sink or swim, basically.
Yep.
So we jumped in the water, and we got an office space on Hyde Park in an older Victorian home. Very homey feel. It's nice. You know, you can see the street traffic and things like that. It's real big, pretty windows in the front. So it gives a nice office feel. But we jumped in, and we started thinking, okay, well, now we've got the idea. We've got our printing costs. We know how many pages we're going to go with. What is our idea of the magazine? Where do we want to go with it? And so, you know, it was a lot of brainstorming meetings. I met with a lot of different people that had ran magazines in mm-hmm. Houston before, past editors of the Houston Voice, and past people that had worked with Outsmart.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting all their feedback of the do's and don'ts, because to be honest, there's a lot of magazines that come and go. They're overnight.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to know, there's a reason for that, and I wanted to know why why weren't they surviving?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to sit down and understand that and try to learn from the mistakes that they had made and move forward, hopefully not making those mistakes.
Yeah.
So we started, we came up with our first issue, came out November 27th. It was a brand new publication, so, you know, it was thin. We're learning. We hired a graphic designer. And mm-hmm. then we moved on to our next issue, which, me being from the entertainment business, I have a lot of connections. So I was able to land
yeah.
Britney Spears on the cover of the magazine.
Yeah.
We sat down. We did a conference call with Britney Spears. It was an amazing interview.
How do you do that? How do you... I mean, you've interviewed Britney and Elton and...
We've had Britney on the cover. We've had Elton John on the cover. We've had... mayoral candidate Anise Parker on the cover, Anderson Cooper on our
yeah.
covers. Being in the entertainment business, I know how to backdoor it, basically.
You've got balls. That's what
I know how to get on the phone, or I know how to send an email to the right person and move along. With Anderson Cooper, my boyfriend and I had met him downtown at Hotel Icon during the hurricane.
Oh.
And I saw him on TV. I was like, we got to go meet him. So we went down and I met him. And when I initially sent
during a hurricane,
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, during the hurricane. Well, it was right before
that is something you would do.
The hurricane's rolling in, and we're supposed to be at home boarding up, and I'm grabbing my camera to run down to Hotel Icon to meet this guy because I've been a huge fan of Anderson Cooper for a long time. So that gave me something to say in the email. Hey, Anderson, I don't know if you remember me, but me and my boyfriend, you know, yeah. da 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 da. And so he was very responsive, and we sat down and had a really nice interview with him. It was one of our most picked up issues.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Britney Spears. Britney Spears was the issue that I could not keep any of our racks full anywhere.
Wow.
And I guess that just goes to show the pull that she has in
the
GLBT community. We're really active within the community. I try to reach out to a lot of organizations.
I noticed that.
And I donate a lot of ad space to mm-hmm. nonprofits. I think that's something that I need to do for the community because there are community organizations out there that need assistance and things like that.
Yeah.
And I also look at the fact that if I keep giving to the community will support me back. And I think that's a big part of survival in the community is to show that you're supporting the community
it
as
is.
Well. I'm not sitting there just taking your dollar and running away. I want to give back to the community.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of me personally is PR within the community and reaching out to these organizations and saying, I definitely want to be involved with you. I think it's a good cause. We hosted our first fundraiser for a foundation called the Osito Foundation.
Yes.
It was a
we talked about that.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah.
It was a huge.
We've been following you.
It was a huge success. We raised a little over $5,000.
That's amazing.
And yes, it was amazing. Posh Boutique hosted the event, and the Osito Foundation is an organization that contacted us from the beginning before
mm-hmm.
we'd actually sent our magazine to print, and was like, you know, we don't know you, but we want on board now. And I was like, well, heck, come on. I always like those kind of calls. And they jumped on board, and we've been working very closely ever since. It's a good organization. Basically, their cause is they donate teddy bears to children affected or affected with HIV or AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And their organization, the founder and the president is Rod Castle. His short-term goal or his long-term goal was actually to stay in Houston. And just started in Houston and focus on that. Well, it took on a different turn when a lot of national attention got brought to this organization. And this organization is just booming now
mm-hmm.
With affiliates in Cincinnati and Las Vegas.
Wow.
And they just did an event in L.A. Now they're represented by a New York public relations firm, Project Publicity. And they are booming, and it's a very, very successful organization, and they do a lot for the community.
And until About Magazine, I'd never heard of them.
Oh, well, I would love to take credit, but, I mean, it's a good cause, and I think they're going to do really well. Let's see. Some of the things that I do want to talk about is, going back to community relations,
mm-hmm.
is... In the magazine, we do something every time we run, which we print every 2 weeks. We're on stands every other Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Is a community news section, and that's something that we want and that we need is in this magazine is community news. So if there's any organizations out there that are listening that want to send me an email, that want to go to our website and check it out, and then send us an email mm-hmm. saying, hey, you know, we got this great event coming up. It's for a good cause. We're doing a car wash for the Montrose Softball League, or we're raising money for HRC or something like that. We want to know about that because we want to assist them in getting the news out to our readers, to our demographics.
Well, it's one of the reasons that we do what we do at the beginning of every show. We promote these things because Houston does not have a weekly newspaper to do
no,
that.
No, they don't. And it's very sad. And it was sad to see the Houston Voice go because they had been around for such a long time.
26 years.
And
almost.
It was basically a legend within mm-hmm. the community. It was mm-hmm. something that needed to be there, and that void is still needing to be filled. And I wish they would come back because it was a great business.
Yeah.
And a great
Unfortunately, their parent company is doing even worse now than they were then.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I Googled the Houston Voice, and they still have a Houston website, though they don't cover any Houston news. And that's a shame because the website's just sitting there, and it's a great website.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would love to partner up with them, you know, and say, hey, let us run your website. Let us put some community news on there.
It's just the people involved, I guess, because the Dallas has a mm-hmm. huge weekly newspaper.
Yeah, I don't think they're a part of Windows Media.
No, they're not.
The
Dallas Voice is not a part of Windows Media. But, you know, you pick up a Dallas Voice and you think you're looking at a Houston Press.
Yes.
It's that thick.
Yeah. Yes.
Their advertisers are not predominantly gay. It's a variety of advertisers. Mm-hmm. There's so much support in Dallas.
Yes.
And it's a shame that Houston's GLBT community, I would believe, is larger than Dallas's.
Oh, yes.
But that's the way it is with Houston, because I remember back when The Voice was there, and you would go in and you could pick up a copy of Southern Voice
mm-hmm.
out of Atlanta, and I forget what they called it.
A couple others.
Whatever they called it in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Their versions, and it was like the Atlanta Voice, the Southern Voice, was like the Houston Press.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the New Orleans one was about twice the size of the Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, towards the end, the Houston Voice was getting smaller and smaller, and not as many local events. It was all
national.
Windows Media.
Absolutely.
Wire service, basically.
All press releases. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That came out of a national service. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, that's something you see the loss of. And, you know, you're seeing it nowadays with mainstream press, where you're, you know, institutions that are, you know, hundreds of years old
are closing down.
Yeah.
I'm a strong believer, and I do believe this with the bottom of my heart, that eventually all print publications will go online.
Probably.
And to me, myself, I read mostly all my news online on a daily basis.
Really?
All my breaking news feeds and everything like that come to my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time I picked up a Houston Chronicle out and about. You know, I pick up local publications like MV and things like that and read them. But that's a magazine publication and not a news source,
so to speak.
But I believe a lot of the news sources will eventually go online. It's free, for one.
Yeah.
It's accessible at almost anywhere that you have a PDA or internet.
And the people that are used to holding something in their hand like that number is dwindling.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have people who are used to seeing something on a screen and are used to being able to scroll through stuff and get their news.
The new generation's coming up.
Yeah.
That's computer savvy.
And I get that. I get
that.
I'm the older generation.
Yeah.
I want to hold this in my hand and read it. And
That's my grandparents.
And keep
it. My grandparents want to.
Sure.
They want to get their news every day. They don't like internet. I mean, they're still on dial-up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I've even progressed from there.
You know, so they're old school, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kay, because with everything going online, but what was it? I think one of the papers out of New York, I can't remember if it's the Post or Times or something. One of the ones from up there. You can get it online, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah,
you might be talking of the New Yorker.
Yeah,
The New Yorker.
New York Times sometimes they have
a subscription. I know the LA Times has a subscription.
Well, I think the Chronicle.
You can read
is
a little bit
way.
Of it, but if you click to read more,
exactly.
Yeah,
and plus the fact that with your news sources nowadays, you don't even have to get to that news source. There's so many bloggers
absolutely.
That go in and will take news from various sources like that. You know, I admit it, when I go through when I get on the net at night, I go through certain groups of video, a certain group, and then I go move to my news section.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the first one I click on is Drudge Report.
Mm-hmm.
He might be right-wing, which is good, because he's always going to tell what's going on in our community.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When something new is on there. So, you know, I'll hit Drudge Report. I'll hit Chron.com for the Houston Chronicle. Check the local TV station ones here. And then I'll go to something like the Daily Rotten, which gives the odd stories that we use here on the show. And yes. Like I said, of Toll the Road, that we use to get those kind of sources. Because it's a lot easier just seeing, you know, it's sad to think that because you're getting news that someone's saying, this is what's the most important or what's the most interesting. But, you know, when you look at the nighttime, quote-unquote, news stations, they've all gone away from news.
Mm-hmm.
Headline News doesn't even call themselves Headline News anymore. It's HLN, News and Views.
Oh.
Gee, where I heard that concept.
Yeah,
from.
Duh.
Absolutely.
But we started that 15 years ago.
But, you know, that, and that's the thing is, you know, and I watch MSNBC. I love Keith Olbermann's show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not news. You know, it's he and O'Reilly, and I'm going to guess Anderson Cooper's too. I haven't seen his that much. It's, you know, he's in the studio and he's interviewing, talking to the same people and just talking to a different pundit or a different correspondent. It's so incestuous.
Mm.
It is. You've got all these
talking heads.
Yes, advisors and this and that that are, well, what do you think is going to happen here? And what's your opinion over here? You know, and it's all opinion-based.
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
And that bores the hell out of me.
It does get boring hearing the same thing over and over again.
Maybe I'm old, but that's why I like magazines. Because I can hold it in my hand,
mm-hmm.
and there's a personal aspect to it.
Yeah,
because it's Houston people doing Houston stuff.
Yeah,
and all the ads are Houston stuff.
They are. We are Houston based.
Yeah.
I have no plans to expand outside the greater Houston area anytime soon. We cover all the way up to Conroe, basically,
mm-hmm.
but that's Houston, and we go all the way down to Galveston,
and that's Houston,
Katy,
yeah.
and then a little bit in Beaumont. But this is all Houston, and this is where I want to center. I do understand that there's some national news out there that does need to be covered. For example, we did a travel issue.
And I was surprised at that,
it
was fascinating.
I'm trying different things. You know, I want to put different things on the cover. I want to see what the community, in regards to feedback, what they want to see more of. And so, here on all these issues, we put Britney on the cover of one, Britney Spears. Then we had a fashion issue.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nonprofit organization on the cover. We had a travel issue. We had a DJ from a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
We had mayoral candidate Denise Parker. Mm-hmm. We had Elton John because he was in Houston.
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then our most recent cover is Bunnies on the Bayou.
Yeah.
Being that it was their 30 years, I thought that, you know, let's give them a cover, you know. And it was a gorgeous cover.
I think of almost the gay USA Today.
Okay, well, that's a nice way to put it. Can I quote that?
I haven't seen any pie charts.
But better because it's slick and it's, it's young and modern.
That's what I've been trying to keep it at. And let me tell you a little bit about our staff.
Mm-hmm.
All of our staff minus one person is under the age of 28. I'm the oldest person, being 28, and then our president of the parent company is an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're 28?
I'm 28.
Oh my goodness.
I'll be 29 in July.
Oh.
Yeah, we've known him for a while.
Yeah.
Y'all know me since I was 17.
Hold on, before you go anywhere, I have to say, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You are an extreme success story.
You're one of those that got out of the studio here and are doing something good.
I was able to break free.
So it is a young staff.
It's a young staff.
Mm-hmm.
I've went outside the box when hiring people. I don't hire people that have a background in journalism. I don't hire people that have a background in sales. I don't hire people that have a background in anything dealing with any
kind of
publication.
Because they're too ingrained in...
They're too... Either they're set on the way they do it and they're not willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've got a mindset of one way and that might not be the way I want to go.
Yeah.
So I've went outside the box and I've hired people that want to come into this field that know nothing about it. Same as I've done.
So you can train them.
So I can train them, or they can learn with me, because I'm still learning. Yeah. You can look through the magazine, and you'll see where I'm still learning mistakes from. You live and you learn. Every issue that comes out, I learn something new about it. And so all my staff is the same way, minus one person, which is a graphic designer, and obviously I want somebody that knows how to do graphic design.
Yeah.
So that is
That's important.
That is important. Yeah. And minus that, everybody else in the staff is outside the box.
Wow.
They're a new way of writing. I've told them that when they write stories, I want them to be more involved in it. I want them to live the story. I want them to feel it. And I want to make it interesting to where it doesn't matter if it's a 17-year-old boy reading it or a 90-year-old man. I want them to be involved in that story, and I want it to be something good. Which brings me to, because we run every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to keep news current.
Yes.
So I find myself and some of the other staff up late at night, the night before we go to print. Because, to tell you the truth, I go to print on the April 24th issue on Tuesday. The only thing done on that issue right now is the ads.
Wow.
None of the news has been written. Not one. We have our idea for the feature, the cover story, but the story hasn't been written. None of our features, none of our story, none of our community news, nothing has been written yet. It doesn't get written till the night of.
Because
if I write a story today, it's not going to be current, or something might change in 2 days or 24 hours. So I want to keep it as current as possible. And then he's choking.
Well, fortunately, the technology behind all of this enables you to get to that last minute.
Yeah.
I understand that, but it's just like, whoa, that's...
Well, and not only that, but then you have to spin the
down
story.
Down to the wire, yeah.
And let's say, okay, well, everybody knows Hurricane Ike is old news.
Yeah.
What makes it new news is when you go into somebody's home and you relive their story and they tell you the story.
Sure.
So that's what I do with each piece of news is okay. I try to flip it around. And yes, it might be old in 2 weeks because the magazine has a 2-week shelf life. So what's on this cover right now, for example, is Bunnies on the Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
That magazine is still on the stands until Friday. It's old news. But when you read through the feature of Bunnies on the Bayou, the story, it's not dated. You can actually feel it.
That's the feeling I've always had reading
your
stuff.
That's something that I want to keep there and keep it that way.
More like what's not what's the event, but why the event.
Yeah.
Why the event.
Exactly.
The history of the event.
Because I don't always read it when it first comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be a few days,
absolutely.
Maybe even a week.
Absolutely.
And it's still pertinent to me.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we try to do with it. Is just to keep everything as current as we can with it. So, I'm really excited about this. Well, we got two issues before I get to that one. Hold on.
Okay.
The next issue that's coming out is going to be for Galveston.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Hurricane Ike.
Yeah.
Galveston is hosting an event down there, and it's called WET. It's their second annual. And all proceeds will benefit the Rebuild Galveston organization. I don't know if any of the listeners have taken a trip to Galveston lately, but I'm down there every 2 weeks.
You know, I haven't been since Ike.
And,
I'm just horrified about what's not there anymore.
There's a lot that's not there anymore.
Yeah.
It's sad to see a lot of the businesses down there hurting because Galveston is a big part of Houston. I mean, it's a great escape. I mean,
sure.
Not many metropolitan cities have a 30-minute drive to a resort island of some kind. And it's really sad to go down there and see still a lot of devastation, still see a lot of the FEMA trailers parked out there, still see a lot of the tarps on the roof, still see the community center that has the FEMA offices with lines out the door. It's really sad to see that. It's sad to see community businesses on the Strand still boarded up, still with cars flipped over on the streets, still with big monster sailboats and yachts on the streets. It's sad to see that, and Galveston needs assistance. Galveston needs money for this organization, or this organization is coming in to assist Galveston and donate 100%, 100%. No, I'm taking a little bit of the cost out of this for this event. No, everything is paid for before the event even happens.
Wow.
And so 100% of the proceeds from this event go to the Galveston Relief Fund.
Because there is a huge gay and lesbian presence in Galveston.
Believe it or not, there is a lot. I mean, Galveston has three gay clubs by themselves.
And not just what you would think. I think per capita they probably have a higher percentage of gay people than Houston, because a lot of, I know personally of quite a few people who have retired and
moved. That's what I was
going to
say. There is a huge crowd of retirees down there that they want to go and they want to escape the big city.
You bet.
And yes, absolutely. And then what isn't on the island per gay kappa is the people like me or you or whoever drives down to Galveston for the weekend and goes out down there.
Sure.
So they need assistance down there, and I thought it was a great idea for About Magazine to step in and be the media sponsor this
year
for that. I wanted to do that. It's a great organization.
And when is that happening?
That happens on April 25th. It's Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday, actually, at East Beach. If anybody doesn't know how to get to East Beach, basically just follow 45 where it turns into Broadway, go all the way down to the dead end, and then just follow the island all the way east, and takes you right on to East Beach. DJ Chris Allen's going to be there, and Special K will be spinning live. So it's going to be a great event.
Special K gets around.
He does get around.
Yeah, he does all kinds of fundraisers.
He does. He does. He's actually a, and I put him on the cover of our February 13th issue, just because
He's hot, for one thing.
He's a very good looking guy, and I've known Kevin for years. I remember before he was in radio and still
really,
and he was spinning over at what used to be O, where we did a broadcast from several years ago.
Yes,
and he told me he wanted to get into radio, and I brought him over here to KPFT, and he produced a Rich's PSA for us. And he used that PSA to get his first job on a commercial radio station.
No kidding! Yeah.
And he went from there. So Kevin has done really well for himself in regards to radio personality. Very well. So I thought it would be an interesting cover for the community.
Yeah.
Because he is one of us. He is a member of our community. He's not ashamed to come out and say, hey, I'm gay. And
I've met him once. I don't think he can go in the closet.
Yeah, there's no going in the closet. I mean, basically... He's a great guy, and he brings a special voice to his to his job, and they love him over there, and they wanted to kind of show the community that, hey, we are here for you guys, and I thought it was a great way to repay them.
Absolutely.
He carries his own personal banner, does he?
Yeah. So,
it'd be like me denying I'm gay, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, scorch marks on the carpet, kind of.
Jimmy, it's hard to mistake you for being gay with all those pink shirts.
I know.
Jimmy wears nothing but pink.
Yes, I know.
Except for tonight.
Well, it's kind of pink.
It's faded pink.
It used to be pink.
It's faded pink.
It used to be pink. Now
he came in once. Yeah, he came in one time wearing a blue shirt. And we're like, who the hell are you?
What'd you do with our Jimmy?
I do wear pink a lot.
I know you do. Well, after our wet issue, which comes out on Friday, I'm really excited to announce that Lady Gaga will grace our covers. So I'm excited about her. She has a really I don't want to give too much of it away, but she has a really interesting gay twist to the story. And so I would hope all the readers look forward to. We've already done the interview with her, and she was very sweet, and we're really excited to have her a part of the About family.
Great. I know there's another issue you want to talk about, but I think we should take a little musical break before we get into that.
Absolutely.
And I know Wes has got something lined up.
I do. A little Mark Weigel.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ourselves. We grew up knowing that most of the world would just as soon we were dead. Those are heavy burdens we bring to the struggle of love. A man loves a man in a different way that nobody taught us about. Other, trying to figure out how.
Tell us about the boy from New York City. Ooh, wah, ooh, wah, come on, kitty. Tell us about the boy from New York City.
He's kind of shy, but he's my guy.
Yeah.
And I sure do love him, let me tell you why.
Why?
He's so cute, and his birthday is soon. And the way he loves me, well, my dears, it's to die.
Yeah.
Tell us about the boy from New York City. He likes to do what I like to have done.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we know how to have
fun.
He's so strong and he lasts so long. When it feels is right, you know love can't be wrong.
Yeah.
The Flirtations.
Boy from New York City. Before that was Mark Weigel. Struggle of Love.
For those of you who may not be familiar with the Flirtations, if you saw movie Philadelphia, they performed during the Christmas party at the end of the movie.
Oh. Okay.
They were the ones who were singing a cappella.
Gigi's here.
Yeah, we saw.
Okay. Thank you.
We heard the jingling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Merlin there for a moment.
No, Merlin.
There wasn't a stomp with it.
He's at Beltane.
Yeah, Merlin's at Beltane.
I wanted to to mention to everybody, I didn't realize, and we got wrapped up in a lot of different conversations, if you'd like to check out About Magazine online, you can check us.
Yes.
You can check us out on the World Wide Web at www.aboutmagazine.net.
Dot net.
If you'd like to send an email to me, I'm the publisher, Cade Michaels. You can send it to Cade, that's C-A-D-E, at aboutmagazine.net. Mm. Or you can send it to info at aboutmagazine.net.
Okay.
And I would love to hear feedback from the community in regards to events and different ideas. What you saw that you don't like about the magazine, I want to know about it. Because, again, this is a community-based business, and we rely solely on the community. So if the community's not happy, we want to find something that will make them happy.
Thank you. And Kate has just given me copies of all the magazines for GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History.
Absolutely. I think it'd be a great idea. I was just talking.
I have to tell you that I every time an issue comes out,
I make sure they get over here.
Yeah, I make sure they get over here.
I personally bring them over here, and I personally put them in your box, and Ray Hill's box, and and Queer Voices box, and KPFT News' box, and Wayne's box.
Yeah.
Anybody's box, I can put it in.
And I make sure I grab one on the way out after the show.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to keep y'all on the loop
on
some stuff.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I think it's a great magazine. I get home, I'll set it down on my desk at home, but like probably by Wednesday I've at least read it.
Well, have you checked out our website? Our website?
No, I haven't yet.
Our website is fully Flash. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to say that we are the only GLBT magazine in Houston that has a fully Flash, fully updated 24-hour-a-day website that has all news and everything like that. You can sign up for breaking news and multi-different things, but there's a lot of great stories online. I try not to post what we're going to be working on in the next issue online, but if, like, a breaking news story does happen that, let's say, breaks right after we go to print, we got a new magazine on stands, then obviously I want to get that on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put it on the website immediately.
Speaking of which, you brought in something about a new story.
Yeah, you know, I was researching some stuff, and I came across a story about a young man named Spencer Voigt from Katy, went to Cinco Ranch High School. And it's a really disturbing story to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I want us, KPFT News, After Hours, and About Magazine to really look into. It's something that I'm going to spend a lot of time on the next 2 days when I go to print and research this story. Spencer Voigt met a gentleman offline after a couple of meetings. The gentleman shot him in the head twice, placed him in the rear trunk of his own vehicle, dumped his body on the southwest side of town, and fled to Georgia, where he was arrested and admitted to shooting the gentleman, and is now awaiting extradition back to Texas.
Oh, he's still in Georgia.
He's still in Georgia. From last I read today on the Chronicle.com website, and it's just a really disturbing story about the young boy that this happened to.
How old was he?
He was 19 years old.
Ooh.
And it kind of disturbs me in regards to this, that this stuff is still going on. I don't personally believe, and from what I've read, they don't believe it's a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
They do not believe that Spencer was killed in regards to being gay.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman that did apparently shoot him is openly gay, has been in a relationship. But the fact that he was on probation with a revocation hearing placed, and the fact that he was on bond, they allowed a gentleman that had been priorly convicted of spousal abuse out on bond. And I didn't know this, but I didn't know you got bond for probation. I thought you didn't get bond. You're on probation. You're getting violated. You sit in jail until your revocation hearing.
Yeah.
I didn't know you got bond. This gentleman got bond, and while he was out on bond, he was able to take someone's life.
Ooh.
And it's really disturbing to me, especially the fact that it's a gay teen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to research it a little bit better. I'm going to try to sit down with the parents and write a really, really good story about this, and maybe we can all learn something from it.
Yeah, unfortunately, we haven't had the opportunity the past several weeks to bring it up in roundtable, which is something that, you know, Jose's wanted to bring it up, and I hadn't really looked at it all that much and see the story about it, because the bad part is this: what the angle you're going to see a lot of people going on this is they're going to look at it from an internet hookup version. Supposedly, this was the second time these two
had met
in person, face to face.
Yeah, they'd met twice.
How long ago did this happen?
I believe he was murdered on it hasn't been that long. I believe he was murdered on April 10th.
Oh,
yeah, I believe that was the date.
Uh-huh.
So it's relatively new. I'm looking over here right now. Well, they probably met over a month ago. That's probably what you're talking about, Chris. And then they had their second meeting on March 27th.
Okay.
But I believe he was actually murdered on April 10th. I'm not for sure, but I believe that's the date that's sticking in my mind.
Unfortunately, I mean, like I said, what's going to happen is you know, the first things that came out on this is they met on a gay networking site.
Yeah.
And now it's come out saying it's MySpace.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of interesting, is at first it was the gay, they had met on a gay website, but now they're saying it's MySpace, and the last I heard, MySpace isn't labeled a gay website.
No.
No, it's owned by Rupert Murdoch of Fox.
So yeah, I don't believe MySpace is a gay website.
No.
So
but they went with that angle of, you know, they hooked up on it, you know, if they could have said Craigslist, they would have.
Absolutely. Mm.
Because, you know, that's the big thing now on that. So they're emphasizing this gay angle from the start. I think the most recent thing I just saw on here is the claim now is that the victim found the gun in the accused's apartment, and when he picked it up and was holding it, then supposedly that's when they struggled for the gun and it accidentally went off twice.
Yeah, that
twice?
Yeah, twice.
Must have been a hair trigger.
It must have been. And that's the defendant's claim now, and is that that's what's happened. And
then of course your normal reaction when you accidentally shoot someone who you're fooling around with, I'm not going to say love, because after two meetings there, you're someone you've accidentally shot. I mean, I guess I can understand it from the point of if this was an accident. You know,
you stuff them in the trunk and then dump the body and you're talking, go to Georgia in the victim's car.
You're talking about someone who in 12 hours is going to have a revocation. You know, the last thing of what he needs is that's going to be, you know, potentially
he was wanting to run. And I think that's something that should be looked at here. And as we're discussing this, is that this guy that pulled the trigger or is accused, let's say accused because he hasn't been convicted.
Yeah.
The accused has a prior history of beating boyfriends.
Of domestic violence.
Of domestic violence. And that's something that we should look at as we're discussing this, is he does have a prior history of that. Doesn't mean he pulled the trigger. It doesn't.
It could be, like it said.
It could be an actual accident. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
But then he panicked afterwards of,
absolutely.
You know, hoping he could get away with it. But, you know,
but when you don't show up for the revocation hearing...
Oh, yeah. When you're already running, and he could have been... And I'm playing devil's advocate here. He could have been running and scared and all this other stuff. But the fact of the matter is, he put the guy in the car, wrapped his head in trash in a bag, dumped him on the side of a freeway, and drove the car to Georgia, to where he was pulled over. The murder weapon, or the weapon that they're testing, that they suspect is the murder weapon, was found on the floorboard of the car, and he admitted to it. He confessed.
Wow.
And you know, here's the other thing I that when I read through here on the Chronicles account from this, that in a way kind of perturbs me, is they talk about the victim describing himself on his MySpace page as gay and proud and posting provocative self-portraits.
What does provocative mean?
Well, first of all,
why does it matter?
And how provocative can you be on MySpace?
You can't.
Banks was also fond of posting self-portraits on his MySpace page, although his pictures were less racy, sometimes showcasing his new clothes, expensive suits, or new Air Jordan shoes.
I think the pictures have nothing to do with this story. Someone was killed. So now it's okay. I mean, to go around and kill somebody because they have a raunchy picture on MySpace? Come on.
This is that BS victimization.
Yeah.
Of the victim saying that
it's a smear campaign.
Yeah. It's a smear campaign. And usually you got to wait 10 years after they're dead to start a smear campaign like this.
Yeah. He hasn't even been buried
yet. It's very, very similar to the woman got raped because she was wearing a short skirt.
She was asking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or coming out of the nightclub wearing short shorts and a shiny shirt, and that's why I deserve to get beat upside the head repeatedly.
Yeah.
I just got a little text here from one of our guys, but a little something about Mr. Voigt was he was also a, not only was he gay, but he was also deaf.
Yeah, he was hearing.
Yes, hearing that's impaired. Right. I've heard that, yeah.
No, he didn't know that.
Of course, I didn't know that before myself.
I was told that earlier today by somebody, and it just totally slipped my mind.
They do mention that in the article. And
what's sad about this particular story is this is not the first story I've heard like this.
No, it's not.
Probably about less than a month prior to this, someone that we're all close to lost a family member, 19 years old also. I'm not going to go into it. If this person is hearing me talk about it and wants to say something about it, let them come forward and talk about it. But lost his brother to his ex, who was being served a trespass warrant because he was not supposed to be where he was at, and he ended up shooting him twice.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar. Like I said, that's one thing reading this, you know, when I read this chronicle, or even at the beginning, it starts off with this, you know, the victim, you know, drove a nice sports car, worked at Walmart, was accepted into college, and the accused, you know, lived with his mother in a poorly kept South Houston apartment complex after being expelled from high school. He had no car and no job.
But he had Air Jordan shoes.
Well, you know, the story, I don't know if it's in this story, but I'd also read that Chronicle had reported that the kid, or the accused was, you know, he was a smart kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was admitted into the Houston Chronicles. They have a program that basically accepts high schoolers to come in and get an introduction into journalism.
Yeah.
And it's a class that's, or an organization brought on by the Houston Chronicle to pick certain children from certain high schools to bring them into.
He was also in a magnet school.
How old was the accused?
The accused, I believe, was the same.
19.
He was
19. Both 19
years
old?
Yeah, both 19.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm seeing another article up here.
He's looking at the
getting a lot of national attention,
yeah.
And I think there's going to be a lot more to come of this story. I think a lot more different things will roll out as it starts to play on.
Well, Kate, like you were talking about, you want to get the angle from the parents.
I do.
You want to flesh this out. Make him a person.
I'm speculating here, and I probably shouldn't, but I'm sure his family has known he's gay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they have their own story to tell, and I would like to hear that as well.
Yeah.
And then not just being on one side of the story, but maybe find the accused's family as well. And get both sides of the story. I do know that the accused has activist Quanell X stepping up to the plate for him, and has and Quanell X has posted a blog on his website, basically coming back to the fact that it was an accidental shooting and that the accused panicked. Doesn't mean anything. It's just the gentleman making a post on his website. But it's something to follow, I think, that all the listeners should stay tuned for. It affects our community.
This was not a black-on-white crime.
Oh, no.
No,
this
I don't believe...
This was a gay-on-gay crime.
Absolutely.
And, you know, however this happened and however this played out, this is a tragic situation.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, like I said, when you start seeing reports like this coming from... You know, the Chronicle, where basically they're already starting to
paint the picture
that, you know, the victim. You know, I've worked with the deaf community, especially tremendously with college.
Yeah.
The field that I am in is well suited to the hearing impaired community,
mm-hmm.
and so I worked with a lot of deaf students, and it's a different culture.
Yes, it is.
In there. And, you know, a simple thing of, even if he's just hearing impaired, he may not have heard what was going on. If he was there and someone said, you know, don't touch that or don't go there.
He may not have heard
understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And to lose your life because of your disability like that, there's something wrong there. And, the article does talk about the fact that this is going to be charged as capital murder, because stealing of the car.
Yeah.
And
a crime within a crime. Mm-hmm. A murder within a felony. Absolutely.
Because he said at one point he did confess that, you know, he wanted the car.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, the sad part is to see this go on this.
But we also know that media has a way of twisting things.
Oh, yeah.
And so don't...
To make an interesting story.
An interesting story, absolutely.
Or entertaining, I should
say. Yeah, and that's really sad within a lot of the mainstream media, is that a lot of things are twisted.
I think so.
I do, too. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Because when I did the search in there to see if there was anything more current than the Chronicle article, you know, one of the articles that pulled up under his name was, you know, is the internet getting dangerous? Because there's also a thing out now right now of, you know, there's a Craigslist killer out there somewhere
mm-hmm.
who's going through, using ads like that. And it is something you have to be careful of what you do on the internet and how you meet and how you talk
with
people.
I think you should use precaution with meeting anybody new. There's a lot of crazies out there. And you should use that precaution when you're answering the door for somebody. Same precaution is if you are out there meeting somebody on the internet or off the internet, use that precaution as
well.
But
like you said, this was their second meeting.
That's true, too.
Who knows how many emails between them?
The guard was probably let down after the first meeting because everything went right. He didn't look like a crazy. He didn't do this. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
So Spencer probably let his guard down.
Yeah.
And
whatever happened.
Life.
Yeah, whatever happened was an unfortunate.
There's a lot of questions left.
There are.
There's a lot of questions that will probably come out in trial, if there is a trial, because apparently he's confessed.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens and see if that confession sticks or if he retracts it. I think it's an interesting story that we should all pay attention to.
Okay.
I do want to say one thing before I get out of here.
Yes?
My boyfriend is at home listening. Tomorrow is our one-year anniversary.
No kidding!
So I wanted to say I love you, and I'll see you in a little while.
That's sweet. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On top of a great magazine, a great relationship.
Absolutely.
That's nice. Kate, thank you for being on.
Thanks for having me. I love coming back.
You bet.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Got something queued up?
Yep, I got something queued up.
Okay.
Here we go.
Whoa, that was bluesy. What was that?
That was Larry Block doing Get Up and Dance.
I like that.
Uh-huh.
I like that. I didn't even remember that one. Whoa. Okay, we are back after hours with Gigi.
Oh, yes.
And Gigi just kind of does that outer limit fringe stuff.
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah, if it's radical Man. Fairies or is,
oh,
you know,
I know
if
it.
You know,
well, I just got back from the B&B. Black and Blue Party.
Oh, okay. I thought you had been to the other thing that's going on.
Spring
Iniquity.
Well, I didn't go to that.
Okay. But HPAP did something else?
Did the play party for the conference.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
There's only a few workshops I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want
for Spring Iniquity.
Yeah, but the price of the conference was a little high for
for a couple of things.
Yeah, if I had been a newbie, I would have jumped right in. Mm-hmm. But you know, most of the workshops were old hat for me.
Yeah, you could probably teach them.
Oh yeah,
you have been around a while.
Oh yeah,
and in the leather BDSM community for quite a while.
Yeah, and not to say it wasn't a good conference.
Oh no,
I'm
no,
sure
no,
it was.
But
it was just
nothing.
I didn't want to spend that much money for something that would have.
Did they have a good turnout?
Yeah. Oh, the play party was great.
Ah, good.
I didn't hear much about Spring Iniquity.
Okay.
Because there's too much peddling and other good things going on.
Oh. Oh, I see.
People are involved in playing at that party.
Okay. So let me get this right. The HPAP party, was it for the Spring Iniquity people or just anybody?
I think it was a little bit open, but it was mostly for the conference people.
Oh, okay.
So, had a good turnout.
Good. So, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
So,
I had fun tonight.
I knew they were having a lot of people from out of town come in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I met some really charming, beautiful, wonderful people.
Oh, good.
So, it's really awesome.
So, what were you doing at the play party?
Oh, you know me.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yes,
I can imagine.
Well, actually, I just kind of... I was kind of sitting and watching and meeting people and kind of sitting in the back lines.
Okay.
Just watching others play.
I would like you to describe the outfit that you have on.
Oh, I am in my Tinkerbell leather fairy outfit.
Tinkerbell leather fairy outfit.
Yes, I have a little skirt that has little bells and beads.
Well, it's more like...
And
a jock strap.
Well, that's the other part. That's my little leather G-string.
And the skirt actually is more like fringe with bells on the end and...
Bells and glass beads.
And glass beads.
Yeah. And then I have my leather top.
A leather top with rings around the nipples.
Oh, yeah. In fact, one woman at the... play party came up and said, "You have more rings on your nipples than I've ever seen before." You've got rings upon rings.
Rings
upon,
upon
rings.
Rings upon rings. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And then I've got my little pentagram on the back.
Oh, you do?
I do.
In studs on the back of your vest.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, my little... leather booties.
Leather yes. Very androgynous.
Oh, yes.
And you have a hat. It's kind of a motorcycle.
It's kind of the daddy top hat.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm being a switch tonight.
I see. I see.
I'm doing everybody's heads in.
Okay.
I'm a little bottom, a little top, and all combined in one.
And an over-the-shoulder purse.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I flaunt it. And everybody goes, What was that?
And, of course, a collar, a very spiked collar.
Very spiked collar with a lock.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm being total switched tonight. And nobody could quite figure out. But I like to do people's
and
heads
and red leggings.
Oh, yes. I
forgot about
my
that.
Pink.
Well, pink. Pink.
Yes, pink. Yeah. A little bit of the 70s retrograde. Jane made those for me.
Because they go from the ankles to above the knee.
Yeah.
Okay.
My little pink leg warmers.
Yes.
And Jane edited those for me.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Oh. Totally. That's really sweet. Ooh.
Yeah. Excuse me. That got me.
The last time I saw those were Easter Sunday.
Oh, yes. In fact, we were going to go back there.
We were going to go back there. We had a resurrection party of our own.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't quite call it a resurrection.
Well.
Well, not for me. Anyway.
You were, parts of you were but, resurrected.
I wouldn't quite say
sticking
that.
Straight up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
It was a
normally.
It was it was a
MM for M.
MM for M. Now what does that stand for?
That's mindful masturbation for men.
There we go.
And basically it is bringing the sacred with the sexual again,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and bringing a group of men together to play, to actually worship, I think, at mm-hmm. some level, to be honorable and to be open and free.
Absolutely. It goes right along with, I belong to a Yahoo group. It's called Church of Cock.
Mm.
And it's...
I need to join that one.
Yes, you do.
Although I might become a... Oh, that would not be good.
It is the celebration of the penis.
I'm not ready to be a dude yet.
Celebration of the penis, and that's what was happening with us. Mindful masturbation for men.
Yeah.
And that was headed up by David Great Bear.
Yeah. And he did a good job.
He's been to a lot of workshops, and, mm-hmm. and we went through step by step, got to know each other. There's mm-hmm. there's a bunch of us there.
Mm-hmm.
And talk a little bit about ourselves and explore our bodies. And
although I did get out of my clothes too quick.
Yes, you did. Yeah, well, you had to put them back on. Because
yeah, I had to put them back on.
There was the ritual undressing of each mm-hmm. of each person there. And... there was some massage and
mm-hmm.
and that of
but before we go
people.
Too deep into it,
yeah, okay.
I would like to say it was good to see the radical fairies come out again.
Oh, yes. I mean, exactly a radical fairy, but I'm kind of on the fringe.
Oh,
I'm
I
certainly a fairy.
You're definitely more radical than
well,
and more fairy than
you. Yes.
Oh, I won't go there.
We had fun. It was a beautiful space.
But I would like to say,
mm-hmm.
for gay men,
gay
or bisexual men,
that's right,
that really want to experience something at a deeper level
mm-hmm.
with a group of men, this is the place for
that. That would be the place. You know, I was thinking about that today, as a matter of fact, because I thought, well, why couldn't straight men be a part of that group?
Yeah.
The only part that might make straight men nervous is...
Other men touching them.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we could... probably make an exception if a straight man wanted to belong to the mindful masturbation for men, that, you know, either we don't touch the straight guy or,
yeah.
you know, because it's all about everyone being comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And you saw me. There's a point where I kind of introduced, I think I scared some of them a little bit, but
well, yeah.
I introduced my feminine side.
That's right, because you were intersexed.
And I brought myself off as a girly girl first and had a totally non-ejaculatory, feminine, more feminine type orgasm,
I'd say,
and I was squealing like a baby and making all kinds of noise, and a few of the men were looking at me going,
we were all looking,
what? Well, yeah,
because
but, I mean, a few were looking at me going, what the hell is going on here?
Well, I know you, so I knew what was going on, but you did explain it.
Oh yeah. And but it was beautiful because you know, I kind of opened a door for some of these guys. We had some guys show up that I'd never seen before. And everybody was a little nervous at first.
I think said, so, yeah.
I'm just going to go for it.
And, but I think for the most part, everybody...
but they...
went away feeling differently about themselves and their bodies. I do.
And I think everybody got a little more in touch with something more than just getting off. At a little bit deeper level.
Yes. I'm on some other groups, Yahoo groups, Guy Talk and some other things, where a lot of, there are some straight guys who would like to be part of a group like what we do.
Yeah.
What we did.
Invite them in.
You know, it's that they kind of long for that kind of male bonding thing.
Yeah.
With masturbation going on.
Yeah.
Not that they want to masturbate anyone else. And this was self masturbation. It was, you know, when we touched the partner, it was just massage.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
It was just the connection. We were making a connection with with another human.
But the other thing that happened in that group, and I don't think a lot of people were aware of it, but we built up a kind of group sex energy at a spiritual level.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It wasn't through touch as much as it was this kind of dynamic of just raising that energy as a group. And I know that the first time I got off, I could feel the waves going through everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reverberation.
I think part of what I wanted from that, which we talked about in the beginning, was I wanted to be in a room saturated with testosterone.
Yeah. Oh, it was definitely...
It certainly was.
I mean, I was feeling it. Kaboom, baby.
Yeah. It was really, really great. And it was a great space also.
Male energy was very high.
Yes. And I think this should be open for straight guys who want to do this too.
Yeah. And I know a few butch women that would get off to the...
Probably.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If it was... open to the men of the group, but that the whole, you know, I brought this up. Oh, we're getting a waving.
Sure.
Do you want to?
We'll take a phone call.
Before we take it, though, let me kind of elaborate here.
Unfortunately, we lost the person.
Oh, no.
Maybe they'll call back.
Oh,
please call
so.
Back.
Yes, Scott, call back.
Because we do want to take your call. And I can answer all kinds of questions for you, baby.
So what did you want to say?
Basically, when you get a group of people together and you raise this kind of energy, it really... I remember there's one guy that left a little early.
Yes.
But then there's some
about that.
Other guys that stayed and were very encaptured by the energy.
Yes.
And I think the newness and the whole process of discovery just open doors.
I do think so too.
It's not right everyone, for everybody, but
no, everyone was in a different place.
Yeah,
coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they were absolutely, you know, had never had a male-male experience, mm-hmm. or
they hadn't had that kind of spiritual experience.
Yeah, and so everyone learned something.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Yeah, he's back.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Scott, you're on the air.
Hello, Scott.
It's still blinking.
Yeah, Scott, there you go. There
okay.
You go.
Part of it is a ritual of loving the tribe of gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and there's one thing good about it that often mars commercial hangouts. At a lot of these commercial places, everybody is waiting for Mr. Right. They're too choosy.
Yeah.
When I got to this group, I got the feeling that it was considered impolite to be too choosy, and it wouldn't seem polite at all to comment on who was best looking or that.
No, I don't think that was part of it. It was.
Yeah.
I think it was more like we all need to make a connection with each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone has their own beauty.
Yeah, well, I went to a bar in Amsterdam called Stablemaster, and
mm-hmm.
that was mostly older guys. A guy goes with me, says, we have to pay to, we're at an age where we have to pay for anything, but this, still everybody seemed very choosy,
mm-hmm.
and it
mm-hmm.
wasn't that I was, I don't think most people knew that I was 67, but,
wow.
And there were other people that looked as old as I do, so I don't think that was it. But mm-hmm. they were choosy for some reason.
I don't think. Yeah, that didn't happen in our
right.
group.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a thing in our culture, even in the gay culture, called romantic love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy meets boy or boy meets
okay.
girl, finds
okay.
them attractive, falls madly in love, and it's supposed to be this monogamous connection for
yeah.
life. And,
yeah.
And that it becomes yeah. very serious relationship, and that's
yeah.
not what this is about.
No, no.
Yeah.
It's about
yeah.
men coming together.
Right.
And forming a bond on a very sacred, sexual, and sensual level.
Yeah, spiritual.
And spiritual level.
I think so.
Well,
and yeah. and connecting not with this intent of finding a partner, but finding an experience.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm not the type to be monogamous. And many years ago, I came out to my brother, and one day he... mentioned it'd be good if I could find a group of men, and that was kind of interesting. I didn't know he could read me that so well. yeah. I came out to him, and he's very understanding. But he never married, but he was hetero.
Mm-hmm.
He had there was a woman he was trying for, and. Didn't succeed.
Scott, let me ask you this, because it's something that I brought up and something I was thinking about today. Do you think the group would accommodate straight males?
I don't know. I think I'd have a little difficulty with that, because I like the contact.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But there may be some straight males that wouldn't mind the contact, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess that they could everybody could say what they like to do or mm-hmm. not do, and
well, I'd like to throw something in here.
Yeah,
I've known some gay males that have very specific boundaries,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and don't want to be touched by anybody but their partner.
True.
Or
I've known gay males who never want their butt touched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we all have our own personal boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. We do.
And I think what was really stood out for me for this group was that we each had respect for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And
yes,
for each other's boundaries.
Yeah.
Well,
and so I think in that sense,
sure,
anybody could come in.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I have rather vanilla taste, and leather doesn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely my environment is leather.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Well,
but I don't try to push it on it.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I think I said that leather was a foreign language to me, but I wasn't didn't mean to knock it.
And when at that, I remember at that part where we were talking about what's our favorite way to masturbate.
Yeah.
And I said, well, on my knees, you know, with a dick in my mouth, which was true,
uh-huh.
But that wasn't that's not what we were doing.
No.
You know, that wasn't going to happen. So.
Although it could have.
David didn't want that.
No, I mean,
yeah.
In a different,
yeah.
With honor and respect.
You mean you didn't want anything that might transmit bodily fluids?
No, not that. It was that this was focusing on masturbation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I do need to step in real quick.
Yes.
Really bad time to be announcing this,
okay.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Well, that's because we're talking about it. We're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about it. And talking about masturbation,
but
as far as I know, is mm-hmm. very good. And mm-hmm. masturbation in itself is very good for the mm-hmm. for the psyche. It is gets
very
those endorphins going, and you know, it's just.
I have to go back to my other premise.
Okay.
In our current culture,
mm-hmm.
the mainstream thought is sex equals sin.
Oh, absolutely not.
Let me finish.
Okay. Sorry.
But in ancient culture,
mm-hmm.
sex equaled sacred.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think, is part of the intent of this group, is to bring back that concept of sex equals sacred,
mm-hmm.
not sex equals sin.
Right.
And we're bringing it into a cultural mindset of sex equals sin. At least that's the umbrella we're under, even though individually we may not believe that.
Right.
But by setting up an environment where we collectively set the intent that sex equals sacred, it opens up a whole new door for us.
I think masturbation is
blessed.
One of the stepping stones to mm-hmm. good mental health.
Oh, definitely. And good spiritual health.
Yes. Release the tension. I mean, that's what it's there for.
But Scott, what do you think?
Oh, I'd agree. I think I've agreed with what you've been saying.
Mm.
You know, back in December of 1999, I would kid people all the time about time to get right with the phallic god.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Well, I don't really think of a phallic god as a jealous god who thinks thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's more like, but then there may have been times when Jehovah was the god of the Jewish people, not the universe, not the creator, and not all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in my teens, I'd read an encyclopedia about cults of gods.
Yes.
But now the word cult is that's gotten a very bad connotation. But I think the original meaning was a group of people that are devoted to some particular god, probably at some particular temple in a particular town.
Mm, you're right. You're right. That word has gotten a bad connotation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think there were phallic cults, and I believe the main phallic, I think the phallic god in Greek mythology would either be Pan or Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they both.
Actually, Dionysius.
Okay, I think Pan is another name for Dionysius.
Pan is a later Roman attribute to Dionysius.
Okay.
And the Roman name for Dionysus was Bacchus.
Yes, and and Pan is also the predecessor of the devil. The Christians, Christian church turned, converted Pan into the devil, and he was often painted with some, drawn with some other sexual features.
Oh, yes.
The character that looked like Pan with the erect penis was Priapus.
Okay.
Was a Greek god, an ancient god. That's where we get the term priapism for the the erection you get that lasts longer than when you go about on the
back. I love the god Priapus.
I've been for a while. I was following the article in Wikipedia on Pan, and there seemed to be a little edit war over a statement that Pan is often portrayed with an erect penis, and I think people were disputing it, and some people statements suspected of being vandalism. There are some articles that attract fights and vandalism, but I work on mathematical articles that don't. Anything in the articles I work on pretty much attracts only trustworthy information, because not too many people know what M24 is or these other things.
Okay,
you're right.
You lost me.
Okay, the articles have the advantage of being esoteric and having a limited audience. They don't get the kind of controversy that George W. Bush gets.
What is M24?
M stands for Mathieu. It's a group of symmetry operations that there are. The number of operations is in the hundreds of millions, and it has some very remarkable properties. It's permutation on a set of 24 objects, and it's very unique, and that it's something that you would not expect in mathematics.
Wow.
It's a peculiarity about the number 24 and its divisors.
That sounds like something I'll have to ask my friend Professor Downs about.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid I can't explain it in too clearly in a few minutes.
That's okay.
We're getting far afield.
Yeah, let's get back to masturbation.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I guess I'll sign off.
Okay. Thank you for calling,
sure.
Scott.
Yeah.
Take care.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think I have had 24 orgasms before, but not quite all in a row.
Now, a friend of mine, Dr. Tom Downs, is a professor of higher mathematics.
Ah.
He talks in... he uses expressions I've never even heard of.
Ah, yes.
And I don't even know what they do. So...
But anyway, I'd like to kind of get to the intent of the group.
Yes.
Because I think that was really...
That was the first meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think David did a good job kind of setting the intent and saying, this is where we're starting.
Mm-hmm. And it started with the Radical Fairy group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
it certainly doesn't have to end there.
Oh, no. And, it's kind of like what is masturbation? Mm-hmm. And where do we draw the line? I mean, the Greeks defined it as self-love.
Yes.
Something solo that you did by yourself. So, in a sense, by definition, we weren't quite doing masturbation as a group.
Well...
But we were, because we weren't...
It wasn't exactly mutual masturbation.
Right.
But, it was a connection.
It was raising that energy together.
Yes, yes.
And so that's where, you know, I think this group is a little bit unique in that, you know, most jerk-off clubs, it's like, it is more masturbation in front of each other.
Yeah.
Whereas this kind of leaned on a spiritual connection.
I think so, and
while we still masturbated physically by ourselves.
Yeah, but there was a connection with other people, and it made the experience much more intense.
Yeah, and that's why I say, what is masturbation? Is it really just meant to be a totally by yourself thing, or can it be something more like what we did?
I think it's both. You know, it's not just one thing. It's a spectrum.
Exactly.
You know, that old spectrum thing. You know, it's so many things are just not one thing.
Well, I want to ask you something, Jimmy.
Sure.
How did it feel for you to be able to whip it out and jerk it off in front of a bunch of other horny guys?
It is an experience I've not had in a very, very long time, I must admit. I was a little apprehensive at first. But once I saw that we were actually making a connection and nobody was going to... You know, I'm 61 years old. I have scars. Even though I work out, there are parts of my body that are not as attractive as they used to be.
Yeah.
And that didn't seem to matter for the connections that we made. And we had guys there from their 20s to their 60s.
I think.
So it seemed to me.
Actually, there's a guy older than Jimmy.
Yeah, probably. And... everyone connected on some level.
And I think it gets to the point where I've talked about this on the show before. You know, how do we define beauty?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just a physical attribute, or does it go deeper? And I think it goes much deeper.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the thing we brought out in the group, is that it's not just physical attraction. It goes into some of the other attributes of beauty that we all have. And some of those attributes live on beyond the 20s.
Yes. In fact, a lot of them aren't developed until after the 20s.
Yeah.
You know, respect for other people and respect for their feelings and knowing limitations, or
but also I've said this before in the pagan community.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've never seen someone put on an ugly face during the throes of orgasm.
No,
they all have this beauty.
Absolutely.
And this glow and this shine, and that transcends age, body weight.
It does.
Disability, everything. When you get into the throes of orgasm, the spirit shines out.
It does.
And I think that's one of the things that came out in this group, was this, even though it wasn't stated, it was present.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of beauty can shine out of anybody.
Yeah.
And we can see it in each other. And it's not just about having this Hollywood or gay porn star type beauty.
No, that's not what I was expecting or looking for.
Right. But what I'm saying is that each person in the room glowed with a beauty that transcended that. Do you agree?
I agree. It was a very positive experience, and one I hope to repeat.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I want to repeat it again and again. And,
It was. I did have a glow going home.
Oh, you had a glow before you were going home, baby. I saw you. You were there.
It was great. It was really great.
But I think the thing I want to bring out is that it's not about physical beauty. It's about a deeper beauty. The beauty of men bonding and joining together and raising all that horrible testosterone energy. And I say horrible with the...
Yes, tongue-in-cheek.
I am very much a little bit of both.
Yes, you are.
Male and female. And sometimes testosterone can be a little overwhelming. But it was a good energy that we raised. If you put me back in my old days when the football coach really pressed me to play real football like a man.
Yeah.
That was way too much testosterone. And they threw that ball at me and I accidentally caught it the first time. And it was like all these guys pulverized me and piled on top of me. Usually I like peppy piles, but that was
No, no.
That ball was way too big and way too pointy. I like the round, squishy ones.
But anyway, it was a very positive experience, and I'd like to see the group expand.
But we did raise a lot of testosterone energy in a good kind of way.
Yeah.
Nice squishy ball type.
There you go. And perhaps, I think we would have had more people if it hadn't been on the day we had it.
Yeah.
Because people have family obligations on Easter Sunday. But so I expect more people.
The other thing I'd like to throw in on this is that, you know, I've seen this from kind of a unique perspective from being in the pagan and the bi communities, especially, is that men in our culture really get a double-edged sword. You know.
We do.
Yeah. It's like you're supposed to be strong and butch. And yet, at some level, something else is going on. And a lot of men don't quite get it.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be able to be tender and touching and feeling. And there's this kind of double message almost. And I think one of the things that this group did was it kind of cut through some of that and said, you know, you can be men, you can get a hard on if you want, or you don't have to get one.
Yeah.
There's no expectations.
That's right. This was a male bonding thing, and each to his own.
Yeah. And you can get off if you want to. You don't have to.
You don't have to.
There's no performance.
No. No. There's
required.
No expectation.
No expectation. You don't have to be anything except be there.
That's right.
And be fully present.
That's right. Because there are men of a certain age. Or
and I think
because of whatever reason, they may not get erections anymore.
Or but even some of the younger men. That,
yeah.
You know, performance anxiety.
There you go. It's all about a male bonding and energy thing.
And that's why I bring this up, is that, you know, in our culture, men are kind of taught, oh, you know, I'm,
if you can't get an erection,
you're
not a man.
I've got a super dick.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to have this, yeah. And I'm supposed to be this, and I'm supposed to be that. And,
no.
You know, if it's...
You're still a man if you have a 2-inch dick.
Well, even...
You know, it doesn't matter.
A soft dick.
Even a soft dick, you
yeah.
know.
It's what it is about is goes a lot deeper than physical.
Mm-hmm.
It's about raising sexual energy and sensual energy.
You bet.
About touching one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we lose touch on.
We do.
With sexuality, yeah. Is that all of a sudden it becomes this, the man has to perform. He's got to have this rock hard super dick.
Mm-hmm.
And whether in the gay or straight world, it kind of transcends all these. Is that, you know, if you can't perform, if you can't do it, you can't meet your partner's expectations, mm-hmm. then you're a loser at some level.
Yeah.
And in this, I think that was the beauty of this group. All the men, at some point or another, went through phases of reaching erections, getting soft, mm-hmm. some got erect and stayed most of the time. Some, like me, I didn't get erect till about 2/3 of the way through it.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. There was no need for performance.
That's right.
And I guess that's what I'm trying to get at, is that, you know, we're men in our culture are expected to be aggressive and perform. Even in the gay, I've seen it in gay bars,
mm-hmm.
or when I picked someone up, you know, it's like I had one guy I picked up one time, and for the life of him, he couldn't get it up, and I said, don't worry about it. I love sucking soft mm-hmm. dick as much as hard dick.
There you go.
Hey, I can get more of you in my mouth.
The other thing about this group was that no one shirked away because I'm HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a problem with being positive and
right.
being in this group.
And I think
which
that,
was nice.
You know, I talked about this to a friend of mine not long ago. You know, there is still such a stigmatization around STDs.
Yes.
Around...
HIV, incredibly so.
Yeah.
Incredibly so.
And, so,
and it's even deeper in the gay community than it is in the straight community.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the other thing, is that we can transcend these boundaries. Mm-hmm. We can become more than what we think we can be.
Yeah.
If we just open our minds a little and open our hearts a little. And that's really what this is about, is forming that spiritual, physical and emotional bond with one another, and connecting at all levels, and being able to transcend these boundaries,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, we're not here to give anybody anything. We'll play safe.
Yes.
And we do play safe.
Yep.
I mean, you can't get much from masturbation.
No, absolutely. that's a beauty of it.
You know, oh, I got an STD in my eye. Ouch. I'll watch somebody else get off. Oh, my eye hurts. Nah, doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way. No, no, that was nice.
And, you know, that's one of the things. It's kind of like phone sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get STDs over
nope.
the phone.
Nope.
It's totally safe.
Yeah.
As long as you play by the rules.
Okay. So, in wrapping up.
Oh, is it already?
It's
boy,
getting close to
flying.
It. I know it. I know.
That's only 3:23. We're not that far.
Yeah,
oh, okay. I'm getting a nod. But I do want to say that I am glad to see the Radical Fairies starting to resurrect again.
I'm very happy about that.
And in particular with a group like this, it does put the Radical back in fairy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and not everyone there was a Radical Fairy.
Oh, no, no.
By a long shot.
But to be sex positive in this climate is to be radical at some level. And to be a little bit fey at some level.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage. And I applaud the men that did come and participated and really opened up.
So if someone out there has been listening and they, you know, gay, straight, or bi, and they maybe want to get in on the next one.
Website address.
It's the Radical Fairy Group.
Yeah, it's Houston Radical Fairies. Email me at buyhouse@comcast.net.
Buyhouse, B-I-H-O-U-S-E.
Yeah, at Comcast. It's the
Comcast. Yeah. .net.
Yeah, I think it's .net. I always forget those last three. I'm a dizzy blonde. I masturbate too much. I think thinking goes. You know, it makes you dizzy.
You can't masturbate too much.
Well, actually, I never could. I couldn't get enough.
I see.
Gigi,
thank you for being with us tonight. And we'll
and
see
those that want to come join us.
Yes.
And masturbate.
Yes.
And watch others masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the other taboo we broke.
Oh, yeah, watching other people masturbate.
Yeah.
Or having someone watch you masturbate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big taboo for a lot of men.
I guess it is.
And so if you want to be a voyeur or an exhibitionist.
Yes.
This is the perfect opportunity.
Yes, it is.
On that note, I'll turn it back to y'all.
Okay. Chris, you have some music?
I hope so. I'll just push this and see what happens.
Okay.
I'm are you? Sure put in a long day up on the hilltop. Everything looks great from way down here. What you gonna do now that all the hubbub's over? Why don't you climb on down and have a beer? Because for 3 days you could let your hair down. For 3 days go have sex on the beach. 3 days you could drive a red Ferrari. Just 3 days you could have me on my knees. And you could dance with me. Come on and dance with me. Needs some sympathy. Does it really end at 33? Come on, let's roll the stone and make a holiday. Go and have some fun, just you and me. Because for 3 days we could shoot a wad in Vegas. For 3 days go have sex on the beach. For 3 days you could wear the queen's tiara. 3 days you could kill us all with peace. And you could dance with me. Come on and dance with me. Come on and dance with me. Yeah. Dance with me. Will you dance with me? Come on and dance with me. Dance with me. Yeah, dance with me. And for 3 days you could cruise with the top down. For 3 days go have sex on the beach. Dance with me. Thank you.
Music there?
Yeah, we did.
Who do we piss off?
Oh. or do you want to know what we played?
Yeah, let's hear what we played.
Started off that set with A-Teens and The Name of the Game.
Are they still around as a group?
I don't know.
They've hit puberty by now.
Probably. Next was Naked.
By the way, for those of you, A-Teens was a...
ABBA offshoot.
Yeah, ABBA actually endorsed this tribute band made of teenagers from Sweden.
Yeah, and then like I said, Naked doing 3 days was next, followed by Jimmy Somerville for a Friend. Dudley Saunders, The Undoing, was that last one.
Jay Spears?
I didn't do Jay Spears.
I didn't do Jay Spears. All right, we're going to do a little few roundtable things here.
Roundtable quickie.
What you got for us, Chris?
Well, one thing, you know, I noticed something this past week. Kind of made me have to think about it here, that I think I can understand now why so many straight people are afraid of the term gay marriage. And I think it's because they're afraid we're going to take this time-honored tradition and corrupt it and change its meaning, its feeling, its belief. And I figured that out because I watched them do that to us this past week. When the straight conservatives went out and started teabagging. You know, we started the slippery slope when we allowed drunk college students to do it to one another and film it and put it on YouTube. And now we have the conservatives going out teabagging all over the place. And I can understand now why they're upset, because they corrupted a beautiful time-honored tradition of teabagging. And they're afraid that we would do the same thing to their term marriage.
Are you okay over there, Jimmy?
I'm fine.
He's loving the teabagging.
I've never seen your eyes roll so far back into your head.
And you've never seen him at Louis, but anyway.
The really twisted part about all this teabagging stuff is, you know, Fox News was out there, and because it was for conservatives, you know, they were rallying around. They sent their fake anchors all over the country.
Oh, Fox News was out there.
And they were all the different, you know, the big rallies, and, you know, pushing all the stuff. And I love it when Jon Stewart goes and takes and shows how they covered anti-war protests. And some of the terms used by the anti-war protesters, and then showed them using the same words and the same actions at these teabagging events. But because it was conservatives saying the words, Fox News was all in support of it. Yay, freedom of speech, blah, 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 blah. And then he went on, so he showed how CNN covered it. And he goes, okay, Fox News is being the hippie station now covering protests. CNN is being the hard ass. What's MSNBC turning into? And they had so many teabagging jokes. Everyone, you know, they wanted to lick Obama. They wanted, I mean.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, watching Rachel Maddow, and she is one of the best ones they've got on there. She's one of the brightest bulbs. And sitting there, supposedly in a conversation, 45 times between her and her guests had to make some joke about teabagging. And Jon Stewart was like, okay, the scrotal humor is ours. You know, what are we going to have to do now?
Exactly.
And it was interesting seeing them have to keep using Anderson Cooper used the term teabagging.
But she's
finally an expert on it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, Rachel may be one of us, but I don't believe she's teabagged much.
Well, stranger things have happened.
No, maybe once or twice a month.
No, that's vampire teabag. Anyway.
So, speaking of really cutesy humor, Jimmy, take a look at this advertising campaign in Denmark.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
A company that is called Silksoft is promoting a toilet tissue that is 100% recycled.
Oh, my.
So they've gone around to public bathrooms and applied this sticker over the toilet paper dispenser. It shows the paper coming out the person's ass.
That's really rude.
It's a pretty good picture. I mean, the person could have probably used a little bit of waxing before.
Oh,
my God.
It's perfectly round.
Yeah, there's not much of a cleft. You know, it's a
makes you wonder how they kept all that spread like that.
Wow.
And so this is a toilet paper dispenser that. The fun part is where the person's yanking it out very roughly, having to. Very twisted. Anti-gay comments in sports are well known.
You don't say.
But when it comes from a guy who, from a group of guys who run around in short shorts and butterfly nets, you would be kind of strange. It'd be kind of hard pressed to find a them getting into the little huddle at halftime, going, "Let's go kill those faggots." And let's go get those effing faggots.
Ooh, what the hell?
And then as they were walking back to the sideline, one player said, "Besides, they've got blacks too."
Oh, my goodness.
So, well, you know, I give the guy commandment, you know, he felt safe enough to say faggots, but he didn't drop an N-bomb. This was the UCLA lacrosse team.
Oh, good Lord.
A person who was taking photos for Outsports was at an event and saw these lacrosse players and went over, was watched, and overheard these comments. And some people who have... He spoke to some of the other players anonymously, and, you know, I'm not extremely surprised to hear words like faggot during the game. It's not a pretty thing, but young kids will sometimes use those words in the heat of the game. Our coach began making us do push-ups for all profanities uttered during practice in order to increase our self-control. By the time players become juniors and seniors, that stuff is mostly done with. Wow. It's so nice that in college sports, the use of the word faggot means take a lap. And, and hopefully in 2 or 3 years, they won't say it again.
Well, on the bright side, at least the coaches are doing something about it now.
Yeah, they're not encouraging it, at least.
The interesting thing is whether or not something like this is going to be, has been addressed yet or not.
I mean, I could easily, you know, say something stereotypical like, you know, well, I thought lacrosse was all queers anyway.
Yeah. Actually, here's a comment that sitting there. The lacrosse team is not sponsored by UCLA Athletics, so it's a club sport.
Oh, like an intramural.
Yeah, it doesn't. Someone commented to them saying, "Hey, you know, we don't excuse homophobia, but just want to make a point. This is not an official UCLA Athletics team. There's nothing UCLA Athletics could do." The interesting thing is that the photographer was there covering an event for the Rafer Johnson and Jackie Joyner Kersee track event. You know, two groundbreaking black athletes, and to overcome someone saying, "Let's kill those effing faggots," and hey, besides, they got black people too. Lovely things there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Oh, the Pope is pissed.
Again?
I know. Vatican on Friday denounced criticisms of the Pope's comments about condoms and AIDS during his trip to Africa.
Let me die of not surprise.
I don't want them to use condoms, but there's too much AIDS.
Saying they marked an unprecedented attempt to intimidate him into silence.
Oh, Catholic.
Pope Benedict XVI said last month that condoms weren't the answer to Africa's AIDS epidemic and could make the problem worse.
He's an idiot.
Yes, he is.
Come on, this is the guy who wears a long dress.
Considering the fact, you know.
And a funny hat. What
say
the hell?
That again?
That condoms weren't the answer to Africa's AIDS epidemic and could make the problem worse.
Ooh, let's teach them what we teach our children. Abstinence. Because we know that works.
Yeah, let's send Bristol Palin over to give demonstration.
Really? Whoa.
Let's see if it says in here. I think where it comes from, the use of condoms is the same sad point of view that we have here in the United States on that is, if you give them a condom, they're going to use it. And if they're going to use it, that means they're going to have sex.
Well, the only problem is they're going to have sex anyway.
Mm-hmm. But the...
I know. They don't want to believe that.
Well, yeah, the problem is that a lot of the time... Just let me... is that a lot of the time the sex that's being had over there is usually not consensual, 9 times out of 10.
Well, there's that, and also the big problem you have with in Africa with that is that you have the husband of the family has to go off and work elsewhere than the normal tribe or town where the family's from. While he's there, he has needs, he has urges, goes out, gets laid, contracts AIDS, comes back home, gives it to his wife. Then the husband later on will die of dies of HIV/AIDS. And under tribal custom and tribal tradition, his brother then has to assume the role of caring for his family. And so that then, you know, he ends up contracting AIDS from his new wife that he's got. And it's the cycle's through here. This is not racist talk. This is what happens in some of these tribal customs. It's well documented on this. And that's how some of this AIDS, the HIV/AIDS propagates through the African community over in Africa. And that's part of the thing, is that people are saying, you know, condoms, yeah, they may not be 100% effective. You've got some African leaders who say that the condoms that the UN delivers already has the AIDS virus on them.
Yeah, there's... Well, there's, you know,
that's
I can understand
possible.
Your suspicion.
I'd like to hear about condom use from the straight guy.
In regards to what?
Tell us about condom use in your community.
Well, for me, it's mandatory. Just because it's not worth the risk. But it's funny, talking about the condoms... this is kind of scientific, and it doesn't take away from your argument, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but the holes in a condom are about 1 micron big. The HIV virus is half of a micron.
No, it's the other way around.
Is it really?
Yes. Right. The condom is effective for HIV, but not for hepatitis.
Oh,
it's the hepatitis that's smaller.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then that was my bet. But for me, I don't know if the practices in the gay community and straight community are any different when it comes to condoms. But I always feel like, at least the impression I have, is even though the same diseases are out there, it almost seems like there's more of a stigma for using a condom in the gay community than there is for the straight community, even though, you know, someone can get pregnant. And that seems kind of backwards, you know. I mean, they're both, there's two concerns with condoms, and that's disease and pregnancy. But it seems like it's even more of a pressing issue in the gay community, even though, you know, like I've been with girls who that subject doesn't even come up, and it seems like it should.
Well, because there's the pill.
I don't care if they're on the pill, have an IUD. You know,
well, the thing is this, there's a different level of stigma you get with saying I'm pregnant than coming and saying I've got herpes, I've got gonorrhea,
I've got
HIV/AIDS. You know, it's more discernible, it's more noticeable to the outside that you're knocked up. But the other diseases are, in a way, more life-affecting than...
And 99% of the time, you know, pregnancy is not going to kill you.
The majority of the time, you know, you have something to take care of for, you know, 18 plus years. You know, that's the, you know, and people don't look at it that way, and that's how you have to treat this. I mean, before HIV/AIDS and that, we didn't have condom commercials on television, but they have to be able to say now that it doesn't prevent. They don't have to have the disease aspect. When they didn't care about, you know, the number one STI you get from sexual intercourse is pregnancy.
Yeah.
You know, it's implanting a parasite into a body for 9 months that you eventually name and nurture outside the body as another parasite. And we're all parasites in here.
Yeah, well, our biggest parasite didn't show up tonight.
Thank God.
And with that, we close this show.
Good night, kids.
Later.
To all the parasites out there, hopefully we'll be back next week. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's Zydeco Pasale. Mary is here. It's time now for your PSAs.
On April 18th, Emerson Unitarian Universalist Church will present an Earth Day benefit concert of Paul Winter's Missa Gaia for KPFT. The music combines sounds of nature, including whale songs, the cry of tundra wolves, birdsong, and the voices of harp seals with instrumentalists and vocalists performing jazz, African, Brazilian, gospel, and New Age music. Admission is free, and an offering will be taken to benefit KPFT and Emerson's Ministry for Earth. The concert begins at 7:30 p.m. on April 18th. Emerson Unitarian Universalist Church is located at 1900 Bering Drive. Contact the church at 713-782-8250 or emersonhouston.org. Missa Gaia brought to you by Emerson Unitarian Universalist Church and 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.